You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Okay, apparently we left for a minute because the mic wasn't working. That is always an essential thing to any broadcast, the microphone working. Anyway, welcome in, as we were saying, to the Wednesday program. And as I mentioned, we have a lot going on, and we're going to say hello to Coach Pittman here in a minute as the Razorbacks get ready for spring, hopefully better and more efficient than we have right here. Coach, thanks so much for being a part of the program. Coach Sam Pittman joining us. Coach, have you ever had a start a football game when nothing went well? Something tells me you have.
About 2023. Yeah. I mean, a lot of those after last year, Paul. But, hey, it's all good. You're a good recoverer. You can recover.
You know, there's kind of an old adage in show business to never let them see you sweat when everything is going wrong. I was more than willing to talk to myself for a couple of minutes, but I'm glad you decided to join me. Coach, it's been too long. How are you and what's going on?
But I'm doing good. You know, I think everybody's excited about their team at this point in time, Paul, as you well know. But, you know, some of the new guys, we've got 39 new guys. I think it's the way of the world. But Jamie and I is doing great. She's coming back from the lake right now. She told me to say hello to
you.
Well,
I always hate to just start talking about Jamie, but there are so few coaches' wives who speak to me that I feel a special kinship to Jamie since I feel like we have this friendship, and maybe she can help me in the wives' club because I need some help.
She'll help you. But we're excited about spring ball starting up, and you know, we've got a lot of new quarterback and to look at, running backs, two tackles, center, a lot of people. And then we have several coming back on defense from last year's team. We added to that too. So really pleased with the 7.5 weeks of preseason workout. And Ben Souders and his group did a wonderful job of getting them stronger and faster. And we start tomorrow, so we'll figure out a little bit more about the team starting tomorrow.
Coach, everything starts from the top down. And I know last year there were a few changes made, one in particular in the middle of the season. And then you reshuffled the deck a little bit at the end. I know that you feel most responsible because these are your coaches, but just the getting the right fit in your organization. I mean, you've done this a long time at many different levels. How do you approach that, and what do you think about it, especially when you internalize decisions that you've made and hoping that they're right?
You know, Paul, when things start heading south on you, it's very, very hard to stop it. You know, and I had a hard time of getting it turned around last year. And then, of course, we, you know, made a change and things of that nature. But, you know, hiring Bobby Petrino, Ronnie Fauch, Eric Mateus as the O-line coach, I think we've really done a nice job there. Bobby's brings something special to Arkansas. He's got that love for the Razorbacks as well. So those things, you know, that you're always very, very nervous about who you hire. And as I've been in my past, when I lost coordinators, that petrified me. I was nervous about it, especially when things were going well. And really happy with Travis Williams. You know, he's back this year. And so there's only one instead of two from last year. But I love the fact that we hired Bobby because he's got that love for the Razorbacks. And obviously I think he's very, very brilliant offensive coordinator. And so it's going well, and he's helping me out too, Paul, you know, a little bit like what Barry did for me when he was here, because he was a former head coach. Obviously, Bobby's doing it with me now, and even better because he coached specifically as a head coach here. So he understands the region. He understands everything about the state of Arkansas.
Coach, I realize you probably weren't paying much attention, but we were in the media when Jimbo Fisher hired him a year earlier. And then you did, and naturally people let their imaginations wander. You've addressed this a couple of times, but can you talk to us a little bit about it? Because there's so much history, obviously. There's I don't know if it's fair or unfair what's attached to his name when he comes into a coaching staff. But as somebody who has seen it all, how did you approach the hiring of Bobby Petrino?
Well, I just wanted to win. You know, and to be honest with you, I thought Bobby gave us the best chance to win. And that was really the reason that I picked up the phone and called him. Then after I visited with him, all his love to come back to Arkansas and his drive to come back and be a part of the university. You know, I know a lot of folks may think, well, you know, he came back to be a head coach and all this kind of stuff. I don't worry about any of that. I just want to win. You know, I want to win for the university, for the state of Arkansas. I want to make the people proud. And I thought this was the best way we could do it. But it's worked out extremely well. Bobby's a wonderful person and has been very, very loyal and been very, very good with our kids since he's been here.
You had such an interesting beginning there, Coach, and then it seemed like everyone in that state coalesced around you. So I know it's on you, and you feel the responsibility when things turn negatively. How do you deal with that? We talked about bringing Bobby in, but you're the head coach, and
yeah,
it's on you.
Well, you know, it's never been, it's never been about me. It's been about the kids in the locker room, the state of Arkansas, and the university. So the pressure of the job comes from we want to make the state, the university, and the kids proud of the football team. We want them to embrace the Hog. We want them to embrace who we are. And it's never been about me, even with all the things swirling around last year and, you know, can he do this? Can he do that? It really hasn't affected me because the pressure comes from winning for the state. And so I'm just all the decisions I'm making is trying to make sure that I get the right people both on the field and off the field in the right places, so we can have success.
Do you everybody doubts themselves, but it's one thing when others are doubting you, people that want the program to be successful. Can you block mm-hmm. all that out? I mean, I don't know how you can if you do, but how is that part of what you're doing? Because you never really, most people until last year were 100% behind you.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can block out everything. I mean, you try to talk to your players about blocking out this, that, and the other, and then obviously you can't talk the talk and not walk the walk, but it's hard, you know, at times. But again, you know, I'm the head coach at Arkansas today, and I'm going to be the head coach, in my opinion, for a long time here. I just got to get it turned around. And I believe that we can do it together. And so I really have a strong belief and love for the Hogs, and I have a strong belief and love or belief in myself. And we did it in much worse circumstances when we got in here than where we're at now. And I believe we can turn it around. I believe we have the kids in there on the team that can. I know we have the coaching staff that can. So I'm really not too concerned about it. I'm just concerned about, you know, being the best coach I can be.
We're talking to Coach Pittman. So, Coach Pittman, let's talk about how you are going to turn it around. We believe you. This is the fifth year now. What is the most important thing you have to do to get this program to where everyone wants it?
Well, I think we had to we've got to shore up the offensive line. That was a big issue for us last year. We felt like we our younger guys who played are going to be much better. And then, of course, we brought in three guys that we think are good players out of the portal. We felt like we needed to add a running back. We felt like we needed a quarterback on offense. Those things, I feel like we're in great shape with the guys we have on the team defensively. You know, I think the one concern for the public would be our linebacker group. But being young doesn't mean you can't play. It just means you don't have the experience yet. So we're going to open up our Saturday practices and things of that nature to show our fans, to have fans in the crowd. So these guys are going to be able to play in front of people, and hopefully that'll help them when the fall comes. But we know our issues. We know our problems we had. And I think we've done a heck of a job of addressing that and getting the right people on the football team.
Coach, everyone talks about the quarterback position, and it wasn't a mystery for the last couple of years with KJ. Right. You knew who it was going to be. How are you approaching that with the opening of spring tomorrow?
Well, Paul, we have an open battle for that. You know, obviously, I think everybody knows we went into the portal and got Taylen Green, who we're ecstatic. We're very happy he's on our football team. But I think, you know, obviously with competition, everybody gets better out of it. And so we're going to approach that for one thing. We've extended 7-on-7. We've got some quarterbacks that we need to see. We have some receivers. Jordan Anthony's a new receiver. We have some new safeties, a corner. And so we've extended 7-on-7 period up to 8 minutes each day, because we've got to evaluate these quarterbacks. We've got to do it early. I would like to know exactly who the starting quarterback is coming out of spring ball. I think we can, but we had to, the only way you can do that is give the kids more reps, to give them more opportunity to compete. And so that's one of the ways that we're going to get that evaluated.
Coach, I don't think we had a chance to talk to you since the schedules have come out. And I don't know anybody that was happy when they took a look, because it's an extremely difficult conference schedule with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas. How do you approach what's in front of everybody in the SEC, especially Arkansas?
Well, I think everybody's schedule's tough, you know, regardless of what the fans may believe, who has a good team and who doesn't and all those things. We're going to approach it just one game at a time. I know what folks be calling, you know, I usually don't do that to you, but we are going to just approach it one game at a time. And, I do like our home schedule, and, you know, I like our non-conference schedule and see what happens. But, you know, from my first year here, when the SEC so conveniently gave us Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee on the east, to, you know, going on the road, I don't know what it was, 4 or 5 weeks in a row last year. It is what it is, and I'm certainly not an excuse maker. I've got to get better this year. The schedule's the schedule. We have figured out a long time ago, if we're prepared and we don't turn the ball over and don't give up big plays, that we can win against no matter who we play. And so that's really what we need to do, and not worry so much about the names on the schedule.
I know, because we've talked about it in the past. You know, your great admiration for Coach Saban. Now that he has exited, I've seen some of your comments on it when it happened. But as you watched that unfold, as much or as little time as you could spend on that, what went through your mind to see him exit Alabama?
Well, I was sad to see him go, just because I enjoyed the interactions we had at the head coaches meetings and enjoyed competing against him. You know, we didn't win in the four. We had some good games, you know, some not so good, but I just respect the hell out of him. And, you know, he tried to hire me a couple times, so I knew he felt like I was a good coach, and that made me feel good too. But for someone to duplicate what he's done in college football, and not just in the wins and losses in the championship, but what he's brought to the game is incredible at a lot of different places. And I just have the utmost respect for him, and have ever since I knew who Nick Saban was.
Coach, we'll leave it there, but we're hoping for good things, as I know everyone in your state is. I look forward to seeing you and Jamie in a couple of weeks when practice is over and things are a little quieter.
Hey, I appreciate you giving me this opportunity. Always good to see you, buddy.
It is our pleasure. Coach Sam Pittman starting the program off for us here on a Wednesday afternoon. Bumpy beginning, but we made up for it with Coach. Thank you very much. We'll take a short break, and we are back right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, a lot of reaction to what we've had so far. Coach Pittman joining us. We'll have a number of other calls in here the rest of the way and a lot of other news to talk about. So why don't we take some phone calls here? And Matt starts us off from San Antonio.
Hey, brother. How you doing, man?
Matt.
I haven't talked to you in a while. It's just, look, I want to say one more thing to Squirrel. Before I talk about Mike Elko, look, Squirrel, don't be like part of my family. They might be good people with doubt I could do anything with my life. I'm going to set the facts straight, and you can shut up after that if you want to be my friend. One, I'm trying to get a job. Two, I'm trying to improve my reading. Three, get better at money. Four, get my own place eventually. Five, do community college or try to transfer tech to A&M. And do your question about Star Trek? Star Trek is a post-apocalyptic society where World War III happened, 600 billion people died. They overcame their differences. You ever heard of Captain Kirk or James C. Kirk or Spock? This society is based on money, greed, power, corruption, or racism, or culture, or political differences, or the racial differences don't matter. You could be gay, lesbian. They don't care. They gave it all up for a better society, more enlightened society. They don't even use money on Earth. Only when they deal with the only civilizations that do money. Called a credit system. Now shut up, Squirrel. Don't ever bring it up again with me because I can be a real a-hole. But Paul, I'm excited about Mike Elko this season, and I want your opinion on it. People don't think he can recruit like Jimbo Fisher. I disagree with that. Give him time, and he's already proving it. But I want your opinion on this season for him to re-prove it. I think he needs to go 9-3 or 10-2. But what is your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're maybe shooting a little high, Matt, but I think it's going to be a very good season. I think there's enough players out there, and I think he has a good staff. Thank you for the call. Let's check Swamp Dog next.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I know this is a sports show, and the best sports show that there is on TV, in my opinion, but I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some music. I know you're a music fan, and I'm going to talk about Nick Saban of music, and you'd be surprised who it is. You might have heard of him. You ever heard of a group called the Funk Brothers?
I have heard of them, yes. I don't know much about them, but I've heard of them.
Well, let me tell you who they are. You've heard of Motown Records, right? Motown?
Yeah, everybody, I think most people have, yeah.
Yeah, very, very popular. They had the Temptations, the Four Tops, Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson.
Pretty much everybody who mattered back then.
The Supremes, yeah. Well, the band that played for all those people was the Funk Brothers. And they played on more number one hits than any band in the history of music. Anybody. There's a documentary about that.
Okay.
I saw it I actually bought the documentary because I was fascinated by that. And nobody knows who these guys are. They were just studio musicians, but they played on more number one hits than any band in the history of music. That's kind of fascinating to hear, isn't it?
It really is. Hey, thanks for tuning me on. I'll be all over that in the morning. We'll take a break. We have a lot more to do on our program right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Afternoon, and we were talking earlier, for those of you who are just joining us, with Sam Pittman. He joined us in the first 30 minutes, the Arkansas head coach, and we'll replay some of that a little bit later for those of you who missed it. But he talked about the challenge ahead and the hiring of Bob Petrino. We have a couple of headlines to share with you this afternoon before we get to the phone calls. Headline down in Florida: how much will we learn about new Gators QB DJ Lagway this spring? A guest in the next hour on that subject. And this from ESPN: how Alabama moved from Nick Saban to Kalen DeBoer in 49 hours. So what did Nick Saban have to say about this? Following the Rose Bowl, Saban said, "I was really disappointed in the way that the players acted after the game. You got to win with class. You got to lose with class. And then showing your ass," he should be a rapper, "and being frustrated and throwing helmets and doing that stuff. Maybe 70 or 80% of the players, all they want to know is two things. What assurances do I have that I'm going to play because they're thinking about transferring? And how much are you going to pay me? So I'm saying to myself, maybe that doesn't work anymore." Bash starts it off.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Great interview you had earlier this show with Sam Pittman, the head coach of Arkansas. Before I get to my question, can you do me a huge favor? This weekend, Alabama is playing Arkansas. Can you just go ahead, Paul? I don't even care if you believe what you're saying, but can you just say Arkansas is going to beat Alabama? Because every time you pick Alabama, Paul, we get killed. I'm sorry. I'm just very sensitive after last night's beatings of the Florida Gators. And also,
that was a really embarrassing showing, I thought, for Alabama at the most critical point of the season, Bash. They're trending in the wrong direction.
I was the one that predicted this, Paul, back when I said, who do you think was going to be the odd team out when we were racing to the top four seeds between Alabama, South Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Auburn. I said out of all those five, Alabama's probably the worst team, and we're seeing that evident in the last stretch going to the SEC tournament. But On the other subject of that, Paul, who do you think is going to win tonight between South Carolina and Tennessee?
I no longer make predictions on this show.
That's a fair question, because every time you do, it always comes back and never seems to be what it always is. But
well, appreciate the call. Peacock is up next. Hey, Peacock, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. What's up?
Hey, Eli Gold was on a local radio this morning, interview, and I was just curious.
Was that the interview with Sean Sullivan?
Yeah, local Mobile guy, yeah.
Yeah, I know Sean very well. He's an outstanding host. So tell me what Eli said. I have not heard Eli speak since.
Well, hey, Sean Sullivan is an excellent guy. You're
he's fantastic.
For that.
I agree.
Well, Eli, he's got something in the works, and he couldn't say exactly what it is, and some speculation is it's UAB. You know, I'm just curious if you've heard.
Well, I really, by the way, I don't even know who does UAB games anymore, so.
Me either, Paul. But anyway, hey, if you'll comment on that, or find
well,
out.
Well, yeah, Peacock, listen, I don't know, I have no idea what Eli's doing. I hope he does well. I mean, he's an outstanding broadcaster.
I definitely don't want to say it wrong. I'm in the truck now at work. I mean, I'm an ops manager at Mobile, so you can probably understand what my life is. But anyway, you got the number one show ever. Shout out to everybody, Dead Switch, Mobile.
Well, I tell you what, I'll try to find out more about that. But I had heard something about the interview with Sean Sullivan today, and I wanted to hear it, but I got caught up in some stuff. I'll find out more about what Eli's doing, if indeed that is the truth. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Dana next in Tennessee. Hey, Dana.
Hey, how's it going, sir?
We are doing great.
Yeah, I was watching a game. It wasn't against Tennessee, for sure. But as soon as Nick Saban turned, there was a player behind him that spit at him. And when he turned, it went over his shoulder. I know he noticed it.
Yeah, but Dana, I'm trying to figure out what Saban said today. I mean, that's been going on for a long time at Alabama and everywhere else. I mean, we're not talking about your father's football program. Players didn't just have their hand out after the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, but you don't spit on me.
Well, I didn't know that. So
yeah, he spit. He spit. As soon as Nick Saban turned around, you could see that he missed his back.
That might cause me to rethink my career if somebody spit on me.
Yeah. I think they call that assault, don't they?
I'm not sure what. This was in California. I'm not really sure what the laws are out there, assuming they have any.
So now you know. But yeah, that young man spit on him. So he turned, and Nick Saban, he seen it. He did.
Okay.
And I didn't want to say anything because nobody says
that's
anything.
That's a rather sad ending to your career, isn't it? When your own players spit on you when you lose your final game. Hey, thanks for the call. I'm not laughing. Maybe I am. Lester is up next. Lester, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Nick Saban, I mean, they need to take them boys out behind the wheel shed and give them an old-fashioned ass whooping.
You think so?
Yeah, for spitting on the coach.
Well, first of all, I don't know that that really happened.
I don't know.
I was on that sidelines, and I never, this is, it's been 2 months and 5 days since the game, and being there and on the sidelines and having seen the game, I have yet to see anyone spit on Nick Saban, and that's the first I've heard about it. But I'm sure maybe we'll get the Zapruder film and go through it later. Mike is up next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. The UAB announcer is David Klain.
They announced what, Auburn? Mike?
The UAB announcer is David Klain.
Oh, David Craig. Okay.
Klain.
Well, I appreciate you telling me that. I didn't know that. I haven't listened to too many UAB broadcasts lately.
But, yeah, I want to talk about, did you see the UAB's Memphis game Sunday?
You know, as a matter of fact, I did see that. That was on ESPN. I did see that game.
What did you think about Andy Kennedy getting technical?
I didn't see it. Oh, David Crane. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. I know who David is. He's been around a long time. I didn't see that. I put it on late. They were down by about 15, and I kept it on with the sound off, so I did not realize Andy got a penalty.
Yeah, my original question was about Bowman, but after last night, I think Auburn will be okay. I think they'll be able to make a Final Four run, so I don't think Bowman's injury will affect Auburn down the stretch.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much, Mike. Appreciate the update on that. Logan, up next. Logan, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Very well.
Well, I just wanted to talk about that statement from Saban. What do you think about that? That was a really interesting statement.
I find these statements 2 months after the fact to be very interesting and compelling. I'm not really sure what's going on here.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, he was complaining about, he basically was telling you why he quit, though. I mean, in the statement.
I'm not sure what kind of look it is throwing your team under the bus, considering some people inside that program felt like he left it in disarray by not giving much advance warning.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shocking statement to me, Paul. I don't know what to make of it.
No, I don't. I mean, I would agree. I am fairly surprised by it.
But I would like to hear more. Maybe what was the source of that? Was that an interview he did, or was that?
He did an interview a week or two ago. I don't know if this is all part of the same interview. I really don't know. Since it was with Chris Lowe, who I thought we had on a couple weeks ago talking about it, but I do not know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. Well, Alabama let me down again last night, Paul. It looked like they're going to go nowhere fast in the tournament.
They're certainly killing the enthusiasm for the postseason, aren't they?
Absolutely. They keep falling down the polls. And I was like, man, I was excited about 2 weeks ago, and now I'm scared for them, actually.
This is not the time that you start imploding.
No, it's bad timing. I don't know. Nate Oates needs to – we'll see what kind of coach he is. If he can get these guys – he needs to get them rounded up and get them ready for the tournament. And if he can do that, I'll be very impressed because, like you said, it seems like they're in disarray right now.
Logan, thanks for the call. We head to the break. Busy show on tap. We've already talked to Sam Pittman. We'll talk to you right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Zach Goodall joining us talking about the Gators, and Danae Hayes, softball player turned comedian turned songwriter. She'll be a showstopper when she joins us in about 2 hours. Squirrel is up next.
I apologize for interrupting, you know, a serious sports show like yours. To discuss Matt's phone call.
Oh, he was calling you out, Captain Kirk.
Man, I had actually forgotten. Our feud was so long ago, I'd actually forgotten about it, to be honest with you. But I do appreciate him bringing up the Star Trek Society because I did have some questions, and I appreciate him explaining it to us. did you happen to catch, you know, what all it represented and what it was, you know, going to correct?
Squirrel, if I could confide in only you, I wasn't paying much attention to his call.
It sounded like a pretty good program there. I'd like to sign up for it if it could be true.
I was checking the stock market on another channel while he was talking.
Sounded like pretty much everybody was eligible. So, you know, I wanted to get in on that too, since I'm in there. But no, he just sounded a little upset with me. And he's the job thing. You know, Matt actually lives in San Antonio, or does he live on the suburbs?
I think so. Never really been sure.
If he can narrow it down where he lives in San Antonio or a suburb, or, you know, one time you were going to be in San Antonio and he was supposed to show up and he ended up being 100 miles away or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But where is he? What hours? Does he want a day job? Does he want a night job? I've actually got some connections in Texas, and I'm going to help his kid out. And
now, can you get him? What about the ambassadorship?
No. Okay. I was straight up from the beginning. That's what started this whole riff, if you remember, Paul. I questioned his qualifications. I can't even say it without laughing. I questioned his qualifications to be a United Nations ambassador. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having ambitions, but I just thought he should maybe start maybe at an entry-level position somewhere. And
is there like an assistant to the ambassador to the UN a position available?
Get Logan to ask Biden the next time he wraps his lips around that open nipple. You know, I don't know.
He does seem to be rather close to the about to be 82-year-old.
Yeah, and speaking of Logan, I mean, does he not? When you look at that dude, does it not look like? I mean, does his face not spell Antifa? I mean, he could be a poster child for the Antifa network. I mean, he just put the little black hoodie on him, and there he goes. I mean, these clowns, man, I tell you. And speaking of clowns, has Jim called in lately?
Believe he called in Monday.
Was that the father thing? But has he called in since he called in with the daddy issues?
That was his last call. I think that was Monday night.
Okay. And he said one more thing that was so bogus about that. He said that, if you recall, he was so good that his father was jealous of him. His father was jealous of him because he was always the best player on the team. Those were his exact words. Let me tell you something, Paul. As someone who had children, no father would ever be jealous of their child for being the best player on a team. That's just totally bogus. Jim doesn't have children.
Well, when I played Little League baseball, my father was just hoping that I could pick up the bat.
He was hoping they'd let you play.
I mean, he just did not want to see me beaned by the pitcher because I was looking back to see if he was watching.
I bet he was more. I'm sure he was proud of you. Let's put it that way.
Here's a sad thing, Squirrel. In the amount of time that he lived, I'm not sure I ever did anything that he would have been proud about.
Well, we can all say that. So don't beat yourself up too bad. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, by the way, hold on, Squirrel. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Matt has just tweeted, "I live in San Antonio now with my sister Jessica."
Okay. Does he have a way to get to work, and does he want a day job or an evening job? If he can narrow it down to that.
So now before you go, I know I'm keeping you from doing whatever you normally do during the Feinbaum show, but as his friend, what type of pay are we talking about here?
Why are you so worried about pay, man?
We started as a UN ambassador. Now I'm afraid you're looking at more of like a fast food restaurant.
No. I'm gonna do better than that, actually.
Construction?
I've got some ideas. I really do have some. The company I used to work for has a warehouse in San Antonio.
Squirrel.
And they might use some help around the warehouse.
I mean, Matt was about to be the UN ambassador, and now you're putting him in a sweatshop.
Start somewhere.
What do you do? What do you do in a warehouse?
We'll soon find out.
I am not letting my client take this job until I know more about it.
You telling him to take this job and shove it? Aloha.
I ain't working here no more. Hey, Squirrel, thanks. Appreciate it. I don't think I better be Matt's agent, because I may have cost him a good job there in the warehouse. I think I had a warehouse job once. That's why I was being careful about what Matt took. We have a long way to go.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.